Hi, this is Janie Reisner, and welcome to another edition of Women's Voices. We have a great show coming up this evening with sister artists Larissa Dukini Starr and Selena Delphi of the Goddess Alchemy Project. And later on, I will be introducing their mother, Leslene de la Madre. Also, a month from now on Women's Voices, I will be introducing and interviewing someone from the Mendocino Community Rights Network, which will be gathering signatures over the next 2 months to place a community rights ordinance on the November ballot to prohibit fracking and protect our water resources. Okay, what is Goddess Alchemy Project? The Goddess Alchemy Project, in collaboration with many artists and producers, integrates elements of underground hip-hop, world accents, spoken word flows, and soulful melodies. Their work includes international solidarity work with indigenous peoples, youth service, arts empowerment education, and other forms of community outreach. These elements have always informed their music and are deeply connected to the work the collective presents through their performances. Their website is www.goddessalchemyproject.com. The liner notes read, at the core of this album exists the presence of the divine mystery we recognize as our source. Combine this with ancient texts, quantum physics, ancestral roots, multidimensional symbology, and an all-female cipher. The result to this equation is a new musical science they call open source soul phloetics. After experiencing a live music set of Goddess Alchemy, observers have often reflected being transported beyond boundaries, borders, and boxes to a common place of tangible truth, arriving at the harmonic crux of cultural coexistence. Zapped, alchemized, transformed, inspired, Goddess Alchemy has magnetized full spectrum support from all walks and talks, from punk rockers to conservatives, from the East Bay Express. With roots in communal living, Oakland's Goddess Alchemy Project takes music, art, and fashion to another level. And, as a picture is worth a thousand words, so is sound to the descriptive word. So let us listen to listen.
Listen. Listen. Listen to the rhythms. Listen for the sounds that resound between the spaces where the beat meets the streets and the heart finds the drum. And the symphony is one tapestry and the sound becomes one rhythm, connecting every moment to this now. Listen to the cries of broken-hearted mothers and frozen-hearted fathers searching for a meeting place. Listen for the lost incantations composed beneath the surface and scripted to return. Listen to the sounds of new souls birthing and babies becoming of them. Listen for the missing ingredients. Finish the recipes just by listening to the source of your soul that is screaming to you to slow down and remember you are divine. A blueprint of perfect information, a reflection of culminated magic on the precipice of extinction. Resurrect your breath. Listen to the heaving of your own chest breathing, leaving emotion alive in the air to resonate. Listen to the orchestration of every interconnected gesture, creating the canvas upon which we dream ourselves into being. Listen for the lyrics between the lines of the words you think you're hearing and let go. Allow yourselves to feel the flow pulsing within your veins, connecting you with every being on this planet. Your arteries are mirrored reflections of the watersheds of this earth. The ratio of water in your body is an exact replication of the ratio of water to land on this planet. Our tears are the waters of the ocean. Our wombs are filled with this same water. This water forms crystals when spoken to softly. How speaking. Communication, celebration, education, healing. Listen to all of these seemingly separate sounds and witness this symphony forms one tapestry. You are a weaver of this fabric that needs the harmony of we to be. You are profoundly blessed. Listen to the silent prophecies they don't want us to hear. If we are the ones we've been waiting for, why wait? We are the ones we've been waiting for. Wait no more. Listen.
Well, welcome, Selena and Larissa, to Women's Voices. Both of you, your music is stunning.
Thank you, Janie. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting us. This is Selena. Thanks, Janie. Yeah, it's an honor to be here. It's an amazing way here to just have this connection between the generations and, you know, to be able to kind of weave our tapestries of wisdom and word, sound, and power through this medium is a blessing.
Well, thank you. It's a blessing all the way around, for sure. You know, my first question, given that this is Women's Voices, is what part did your mother play in your becoming the amazing woman that you are today?
I can go ahead and speak on this.
This is Larissa?
This is Larissa, Bikini Star. My mom and I had brunch yesterday and had a great talk about this because we're going to be doing a mother-daughter workshop this coming weekend. So we were just, you know, having a great conversation about it. And, you know, what part did she play? What part didn't she play? I feel like from birth, from conscious, you know, her consciousness of consciousness, you know, conception and bringing us through with that absolute commitment to us as beings. And, you know, in that sense, calling us in a very conscious way, and being the vessel for us. And so from inspiration and inception and from the seed to the flower of the blossom of womanhood that we've entered now, I think it's been quite the journey that she's played throughout the whole process. And I think a few points that I was coming to in our conversation was just the way in which she fiercely reared us, the way that she allowed us to make our own choices while at the same time leading by example and always being in her truth and always providing a spiritual path and platform for us to explore while at the same time, you know, maintaining a delicate balance of not pushing it on us, but allowing us to, you know, expand into it, to explore it. And really, ever since I can remember, throughout my whole life, that path has always been there and open, and not only... And I'm speaking of path of spirituality, and particularly feminine spirituality, women's spirituality. So not only has it been there, but it's also been taught that spirit and that connection to the divine is, in fact, you know, one of the most important things that we have. So I feel like I'll stop there because I know Selena probably has a lot to say as well, but that would be my short answer to that question.
That's a wonderful answer. Thank you. Okay, Selena, your turn.
Thank you, Larissa. Beautifully spoken, and I would have touched on many of those things as well. What I would love to add is that our mother has really brought ceremony into our lives from the beginning of time. And I would absolutely not be who I am today without her support in that way and the beautiful continuous opportunities that she's offered us to sit in sacred space with each other, with ourselves, with other women, in community, And she just is such a graceful artist of those old ways. And I feel so grateful to have had rites of passage honored for me as a young woman growing into a woman, as a girl growing into a woman. And she continues to hold that space for me to this day. And I don't know where I would be without that. I just can't really imagine that. And I know that a lot of people around me from the outside looking in tell me how lucky and blessed I am. And I know that that's true. And I'm so grateful for that. And at the same time, I really, you know, in this life, I don't know another way. So I feel like that's such a gift. And such a rare gift as well. So I really am grateful to my mother for that. And I also would love to just add that, you know, she's an amazing educator and a fountain of wisdom and knowledge. And she really has dedicated a lot of her life to studying and learning all kinds of different information and ways from all over the world. And the thread of her quest is definitely feminine spirituality and reclaiming what needs to be unearthed and remembered by us as women. And those things are so rare. That so many of the things that she's taught me, I don't know if I would have learned them anywhere else if she wasn't my mother. And I continue to reflect on this all the time. I'm actually in school right now, and it comes up a lot for me in school and just witnessing what kinds of information people bring forward in the academic world as well, and how much information I feel is missing. And I wouldn't be aware of those things at all if I hadn't had my mother as my teacher. So that is something that I could talk about for a long time, but those are some of the things that come up for me right away when you ask this question.
Oh, such beautiful, beautiful statements by both of you. My heart is overflowing, and your mother's must be too. Very, very touching and very lovely and very right on. You know, you have quite a history in many ways, being born to artist musicians' parents in a Tennessee countercultural community known as The Farm, which was founded in 1971 by a few hundred San Francisco hippies. And I guess you left in 1984 when you, Selena, was two and Larissa was five. But surely it's that beginning experience also played beautifully into your journey. It's quite amazing. You know, while the Goddess Alchemy Project's adherence to indigenous and aboriginal spiritual paths may not connect, by the way, I'm reading from your website, may not connect with every listener, it should be familiar to the group's core audience of artists, free thinkers, and socially conscious globetrotters, many of whom find common ground at Nevada's Burning Man Festival. A Goddess Alchemy has performed at the massive countercultural gathering each of the past 4 years and probably since then, before ever larger audiences, and in many other venues as well. Would you like to name a few?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we had quite the globetrotting adventures. You know, we played in New York and Chicago and all went all the way to Bali, to Indonesia, and pretty much most every venue on the Northwest Coast. We played so many different of the festivals, Earth Dance, Symbiosis. Selena, you want to chime in? Harmony Festival, Rain Dance. We played one of the most recent festivals we played. It was called Human Nature up in Oregon. We played some venues in Portland, some New Year's shows. We played pretty much all up and down the West Coast in different like community events and some clubs and festivals. And then, like my sister was saying, we've also traveled the country
quite a bit, and also had the opportunity to play abroad as well. And I was able to play in Australia just last year, which was really amazing and fun, and got to connect with an incredible community of women out there called Sisters for Sisters. And they do amazing work supporting women activists from all over the world with their art, and women artists come together and perform to support amazing causes. And so it's just so special to be able to network with different people doing such kinds of work, especially
to
empower women.
Of course. Could you tell me again the name of the group in Australia?
Sisters for Sisters.
Is that something that people would want to learn about? Is it sistersforsisters.com?
Yeah, if you Google Sisters for Sisters, you can find them. I don't know that they have an official website, but they definitely have a Facebook page, and they're very active on Facebook. And yes, absolutely, they're an incredible network of women. I would suggest to check them out if you're interested.
And you have performed here, too, in this community.
Yeah, definitely.
You were at Crown Hall. Larissa, you were at Crown Hall. Or were you both? You weren't.
Yeah, we were there. We were there, and also we played Casper many times.
That's right. That's right. Selena, you are the author of the first cut we heard, that beautiful song, "Listen."
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you have a story about how that came into being, and I wonder if you could share that.
Yes, I would love to. It's a sweet story. So when we got us Alchemy released two albums, the first one that we released was an EP. So it was, I think there were five tracks on it, or maybe six. And that was called Tap the Strategic Works. And then the second one was Frequencies of the Motherland. And that was our full length album that we released. So for our EP, each one of us, which there were four members at the time, crafting the music and writing the music. And each one of us wrote a spoken word piece for the EP. And so we each went in there individually to record our spoken word pieces. And it was the day that I was going in to record mine. And I just had a lot going on right then in my life. And for some reason, I didn't have anything written or prepared. And that's not like me at all. I really like to be prepared for things, and so I was a little bit nervous about that. And I was on the phone with Ema, who was another one of the founding members of Goddess Alchemy, and I was telling her as I'm driving to the studio on the phone with her, I don't know what to do. I don't have anything prepared. I'm nervous. I feel like I didn't really have time to prepare this. And she said to me, "Yes, you do. Just listen." And when she said that, it was like this lightning bolt struck down on me, and it opened up this relationship with that piece. And I was just like, okay, I gotta go. And I hung up the phone with her, and it was literally like as I was driving to the studio, I had to like catch the piece from the air and bring it down. To be able to, you know, get it in time to even write it down. So it was really a beautiful experience that way. And it started coming and coming. And I just started reciting it as I was driving there. And then once I got to the studio, I just like ran inside and asked our producer for a pen. And I just started writing away. And that's how it came. And later, there's a TED Talk actually by Elizabeth Gilbert who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. And she talks about that, the nature of that when your muses are talking to you. And she talks about a particular poet, I can't remember her name, who had a similar experience. And she would have to run from the field into the house to catch these poems that were coming down. And I just loved that when she said it. It made me cry because I know what that feels like, and it's really special.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a special piece. It's such a special piece. I think I'd like to play it as the beginning song for Women's Voices in the future. if I may, from time to time.
Please, please. Thank you.
Yes, it's lovely. And you say in the lyrics, if we are the ones we have been waiting for, why wait? What do you mean by this?
Well, you know, I think that for my generation, we are the ones we've been waiting for is kind of like this spiritual mantra that has been really a part of our life, our part of our quest as well. And I think the quest is to figure out what does that mean and what is it that we have in us that we can offer or awaken that is part of the key to the human story right now. And I don't know the answers necessarily to what that is, but what I do know is that it's a quest, and we are on the planet at this time for a reason, and that has been like a mantra of our time also for a reason. So we don't have time to wait around anymore, you know, in the state of our planet and so many of the things that we're facing. So there is a sense of urgency to really do what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. And finding out what that is, I think, can be the struggle for people of my generation. And we have access to so much that it can be a little bit of a challenge to find focus, especially mm-hmm. here in this country. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit about what I meant by that.
Thank you. Yes, it's a very powerful statement, and I use it as well, because it is true. I mean, we are on the line. This really is the time to speak up and speak mm-hmm. our truth and awaken other people to it if they're not yet awake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In addition to your mother's deep wisdom, you are both students of a native shaman in Ecuador. Is that correct? Could you talk about how that came to be and what you feel being with this woman's spiritual teacher?
Yeah, do you want to answer that, Larissa? Or begin?
Yeah, I can begin. Yes, her name is Carmen Vicente. She's from Ecuador. She is amazing. She's a woman chief and a Sundance chief. And she just came into my life, of course, at the perfect time. We do this work in California, and also she has altars all over the world for this work, but it's called Búsqueda de Visión, and that's Vision Quest. So I began on this path about 5 years ago, and it's, to me, what really, what I could recognize in what she carries is just such an ancient lineage that really felt unparalleled, and it's just real and palpable, and you just feel the ancestors and the anciency and in the teachings and in the past. So she, to me, that's what really drew me to her and magnetized me to her and her particular path and mm-hmm. way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
She's one of the only sort of female chiefs that is kind of doing this work. She does work of women's gatherings all over the world as well. And one of those gatherings was the Encuentro de la Vagina, which is the meeting of the vagina, really. And it's just bringing women together from all over the world in an ancient ceremonial way. So to me, of course, I'm magnetized towards that work because, you know, what you've heard of our upbringing and the importance of female spirituality. And then to me, it's just that much more exponential and expansive to then experience that with women from all over the world who have the mystery in their lineage. And it's really just exquisite to me.
Thank you. I can't imagine. It must be absolutely wonderful to be united with women in such a like-minded, basic way. Sounds wonderful. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Selena?
Yes, I would love to add. Carmen is definitely such an essential guide for me in my life. And I met her about 7 or maybe even 8 years ago now. And when I first met her, I just knew I wanted to work with her and learn from her and be around her. And later I understood more about why, but at first it was really just a feeling. And, you know, she really is a fearless woman. That was one of the first things that caught my attention about her. She's got just this field of energy around her that you can't help but feel and appreciate and say, wow, what does this woman have going on? And how does she do this? And she's just really not afraid to, you know, throw her elbows when she needs to get the job done and do what she needs to do. And sometimes, you know, forge new pathways or be able to fill kind of shoes that women aren't necessarily always able to fill in our time. So she will, in the world of medicine people, she's not afraid to, you know, sit and work with many medicine men and bring forward her medicine as a woman and match them in such a brilliant way with what she has to offer. And that is something that's really rare and really necessary, in my opinion, at this time, and so inspiring to me. And she's fearless in many, many, many ways, but that's just one example that comes to mind for me right now. And she just really has taught me a lot about my own strength and what my capacities really are. And she really challenges me to continue to grow into a better woman and into a better me. So I'm infinitely grateful for her.
Mm. That's beautiful. And that she, as you say, she isn't afraid to throw her elbows out. Is that what you said? I love
that
it.
That is what I said.
Yeah. Yes, I love it. I like that image. That really gives her great expanse.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. Beautiful. I'm speaking with Selena and Larissa of Goddess Alchemy Project. And they are here with their mother, Leslene, which we are going to bring her up in just a moment. But before we do that, let's listen to another cut of your music, Genesis.
Disintegrating clay since since Egyptian hieroglyphs line my bedroom walls. I am a canvas of invisible hieroglyphs. Beneath the skin of a people unseen, our stories untold and forgotten. To destroy us, they'll have to annihilate our aims. We summon the strength of all those who came before us and all those coming. We must be freedom in our fingers. When the world gives us nothing but believing, a new day is coming.
She is alive.
Infant Earth.
She is the eye of the storm.
Wrapped in the shawls of dark matter. Floating in a reed basket down time's sacred river.
River of life burns fire channel.
To trace blood beyond race and place. But into riverbeds and streams.
Of the flickering flame.
The space of just born breath sighs.
She breathes deep unto the dormant crevices of my intellectual electrical system, awakening the unconscious notion to bring thy subconscious ocean back to life.
Muevo con los siglos de la luna, con los corrientes de mi mar adentro.
Meridians of rhythms travel through me like maps.
As I pray loosely
to the frequencies of the motherland.
Alchemy.
To the alchemist, the process of alchemy was almost as important as the goal.
This is, of course, an oversimplification. The alchemist's own tendency was to overcomplication. Like the ceremonials, alchemists phrased their writings in intentionally obscure wording. Ostensibly to shield their teachings, it also served to shield themselves from persecution, 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 persecution.
Another wonderful one. On that note, let us bring in your mother, Shimama Leslene de la Madre, born and raised in the Bay Area and a student of shamanism for 35 years and a student of goddess spirituality for over 15. She has a background in spiritual midwifery, community living, foster parenting, and psychology from UC Berkeley, blending her work with cross-cultural spiritual traditions, including Wicca, Zen, Buddhism, and Native American, and her studies with various teachers of shamanism. Leslene provides a rich, nurturing environment for healing. She has coined the word Shimama, a midwife of the spirit, to describe herself in her healing work. She recently returned from a month in Australia presenting workshops on matters of the mother, heart, and soul. Welcome, Leslene. So wonderful to have you here with your talented daughters.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
It really is amazing, isn't it?
Well, it really is amazing, and how fortunate I am to get to listen to my daughters share about life with me as their mother. That's a treat.
Yes, I'm sure it is. It was all very beautiful, very, very touching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say a little bit, I guess you've said already a little bit, about what it's like to have your daughters be so open to the transmission from the mother that you carry so powerfully?
Well, for me, it's an absolute treasure because it's, I get to witness a mending of a lineage of my mother line, their mother line. It's a mending, and then a carrying forward that they have received the torch. You know, they haven't rejected it; they've received it.
Mm-hmm.
which is where the lineage gets to be healed and remembered, and gets to be reborn in these perilous times.
Yes, yes, indeed.
So I'm absolutely thrilled that my daughters were not stolen by the patriarchal culture and taken away, like, you know, the story of Demeter and Persephone, the patriarchal myth of how, you know, Persephone is taken from her mother, and their bonding is so incredibly beautiful, and she's taken away, you know, by Hades. She's kidnapped, abducted, and raped, and then held in his world, you know, and that's really a story for modern times for many, many women, and it's heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking.
Well, our culture, of course, has nothing good to say about our patriarchal culture, about women. Of course, women's ways are scorned, and daughters are certainly turned against their mothers.
Oh, yes, they are.
In many ways.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So.
And in the real story of it, there was no Hades, there was no rape, there was none of that. There was just the beautiful story of mothers and daughters, and Persephone does go into the underworld to meet Hecate, the grandmother who holds the secrets of the mysteries of life and death, and she teaches Persephone, and then when Persephone returns, she returns to her mother, and they're in absolute ecstasy together. That's the real story.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
So I feel like I do get to share that with my daughters, that we do have something that has great love in it that wasn't broken or stolen.
And they are protected in this way.
Yes.
Yes. How do you all see, right, what we're talking about? How do you all see the state of the present world and the very real dangers we face, as the ones in charge seem to turn a blind eye to what must change if we are to survive? The power and blindness of the patriarchal mindset. How do you see the awakening to the mother changing this scenario? That's for everybody or anybody.
Well, I speak on this a lot and I work with this a lot. So I wouldn't mind just being quiet for a few minutes and hearing what my daughters have to say about that.
I hate to pass the torch back, but I think I feel the same way because it is such your area of expertise, Mom. I feel, and you just joined us, so I kind of would love to hear a little bit before I speak of what you want to say there.
You know, I often come back to thinking about the Plains Indian, Plains Native American saying from the women that says, a people is not conquered until the hearts of the women are on the ground. And when I think about that, there's so many hearts of women that are on the ground all around the world.
Yeah.
And there are just so many more that are added on a daily basis, like with the Nigerian girls that were kidnapped and in the middle of the night by these brutal men who think that that's the way to have power, to own girls, you know, for their own exploitation and whatever they're doing. I mean, it's very hard to even imagine what they're doing. So, you know, I'm absolutely driven by helping women to awaken to the powerful beings that they are. And I think that's the medicine for pulling us out of this dreadful experience that we're having. I look at the world and I hear, you know, we've been having all these male disseminated teachings for thousands of years. And within the teaching, I'm thinking of Buddhism, Christianity, you know, all, and there are others.
Right.
Within those teachings, there are good teachings. But when they're not in the proper context, it's like those teachings just don't further very much. And that context is a context of absolute, total, complete reverence for women and the female principle of life that brings forth life. Without that, we can see we've had these teachings for thousands of years and look where we're at.
Well, the thing, yes. And the thing about those teachings, which I feel just as strongly about as you do, is that they're never put into the context that there is injustice in the world.
Right.
It's all about refining your feelings and not being angry and all of those things. And the point is, Buddha, none of them speak, none of those religions ever mention that we live in a horrifically unjust world.
Right. And it's unjust at the hands of men.
Oh, absolutely.
That never gets talked about either in many of those religions. I call them dead mother religions because, like in Buddha's story, you know, his mother dies right after she gives birth. Or there you have Mary, whose total existence depends on her adoration of her son.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I mean, and then we have these mythologies that birth is something that happens.
Out of somebody's head.
a man's head, you know, or a man's, a rib. It's just complete insanity to me, actually, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It is.
And so we have to cleanse all that stuff, and women have to rise up, and women have to say, wait a second, this is what birth is. That is not birth. That's a lie. And then we have to start peeling back all of the lies. But for 5,000 years, we've been inundated with these lies, and they've been accepted as normal.
Right.
You know, so not so easy.
That's right. That's right. But underneath it all, underneath everything, some people do, women eventually, and men too, do awaken, some of them. And are
some of them do.
And are outraged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
it's true. There is, yes. Yeah.
And that's, you know, we need, that's a tool. It's not bad. It's good.
No. No, we need to be fierce in that. You know, it's like I think of a mother bear. Everybody respects the ferocity. Why is that? You know, I mean, it's just a no-brainer. It's like a mother bear with her cubs. Oh, yeah, you stay away.
Right.
You know? She will fiercely protect that life. And, you know, human mothers have been denied that depth of ferocity when it comes to protection of life. You know, we're all sort of conditioned and oppressed and depressed and oppressed and pressed and suppressed and all of the press that you can think of by, for instance, the seven deadly sins, you know, don't be angry, and like you were saying earlier, it's like, but when it comes to a mother bear, nobody
shames
throws that at a mother bear.
Right, or an elephant. Shame on them.
Or an elephant. You just get out of the way, that's all. You know.
Right, right. Yes.
And I think we need that kind of ferocity. I think women really need to find that kind of ferocity. And it's not, it's completely compassionate. It's not out of control, just, you know,
it's the maternal,
your anger.
It's the maternal instinct to protect life. And protecting life, enraged because life is being hurt, is appropriate. That's what love is. You don't stand around and watch someone being hurt and just don't do anything.
Right. No, but we've been so conditioned that it's wrong to stand up to protect. It's wrong for, you have to be nice. Angry women are not nice. And there's real stuff around that, too, because, you know, it was only 300 years or so ago that the Inquisition happened, and women were burned and for being powerful, burned and tortured for being powerful. And we carry that a collective memory, to be in your truth, to be in your power, to be a healer, all of that. We were burned for it. So a lot of women are afraid of their own power.
Mm-hmm. And there are women today who are, my goodness, being burned, stoned, horrific things happen right now.
Absolutely. It hasn't stopped.
Which is, it's beyond belief. Really, it is.
Yes, it is.
You, along with Larissa, will be presenting a workshop in the Lightning in the Bottle Festival held in Bradley, mm-hmm. California, May 22nd through the 26th. And mm-hmm. your topic will be the Sacred Circle of Mothers and Daughters, focusing yes. on reclaiming wisdom and healing our mother line images. Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, they're giving me an hour. To do this.
Oh boy. Well, you have to work fast.
Yeah. And sorry, Selena won't be able to be with us, but she'll be with us in spirit. So
So how do you envision that, both of you together?
I don't know. Usually I wait till I'm there to see what the energy is and what's needed before I know what I'm going to do often. I mean, sometimes I'll have a structure. I'll have an idea, and I feel like like Selena was talking about, the muses, you know, the muses will tell me in the moment.
I have heard you say that, and I trust that's how you operate again and again. But that requires a lot of trusting on your part.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I do have some sense of what I want to offer. Sometimes I will have that sense, and I don't offer any of it. You know, it's something else entirely happens.
And how about for Larissa? How do you see this time?
Well, we've done we've done a few things works together in this way, and namely a particular one at Earth Dance, a different festival, and it just was so powerful because, for one, me and my sister are in a total different sort of light in this sort of community, like this festival circuit. So have always been seen as performers, and also, you know, we like to feel like we're making offerings really when we present our art. So people are always, when they make the connection to our mother and ask us about, you know, our upbringing and our mother, they're always like, wow, how amazing that you have her as a mother and this source of wisdom. And it's just a reflection that comes a lot. And so the way that I envision it is just to present the authenticity of that, of what it actually looks like and the product of that healthy mother-daughter bond and the product of my upbringing and the way that our mom raised us and what that looks like. And since people have kind of seen us and seen me in the performance circuit for the last 10 years, I think it gives just making that connection and witnessing whatever comes through at that moment of what we're presenting for the workshop, people can really see a palpable example of what that healthy bond looks like. Mm-hmm. And it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. So that would be kind of my two cents on that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, and how do you settle differences? You must have differences about things.
We talk. We just talk and talk and have some more talk.
We have a lot of great mutual respect, and we each have awareness and a continued developing awareness of our own triggers, emotional triggers. And we, you know, I've taught my daughters to work with their triggers and that their feelings are theirs, and to watch for projection so that we all can work together through differences, you know, while taking responsibility for our feelings and being able to talk about, well, you know, this is what I'm feeling. Doesn't mean you're doing that thing. This is just what I'm feeling, and I'm sharing my observation with you. But there's enough respect that creates the space
for both
to allow
of them. Yeah.
Each of us to have our own, you know, view and space, and that's how we work it out.
Can I add to that? This is Selena. I'm just kind of chuckling over here because I was just having a conversation with a friend, I think it was even yesterday or the day before, about how we dealt with differences growing up when I was still living in the house. And I was remembering that when I would get upset or triggered or be throwing a tantrum, and mostly this, what I'm talking about is adolescence, my mom would always respond with kindness. She would be fierce, but she would be kind, and she wouldn't come back at me with a trigger. And she would hold this loving, fierce, loving space and reflect it back to me and say, okay, well, if you're going to act this way or you're going to talk to me that way right now, you need to go to your room and deal with it yourself. And I would go to my room and be angry and throw a tantrum however long I needed to, but I could only do that with myself until I calmed down. And she would say, and when you're ready to speak with respect, then I'm here to talk to you and you can come back. And so that really taught me how to be self-responsible and self-regulate. And it was hard. It was very frustrating. And taught me a lot about how to deal with my own triggers and not have anyone else to throw it on but myself until I was able to calm down and learn to be respectful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good learning. Both of you, Larissa and Selena, what do you feel lies ahead for you both? At this time, you're moving in slightly different directions from the Goddess Alchemy Project. Is that correct? And we only have, maybe a minute, so.
In 30 seconds or less.
Yes.
What is your future? My future is a mystery. More and more every day, I'm learning how to really live each day for what it is and to follow the synchronicities of where my path wants to lead me. And I feel like that saying of life is what happens when we're busy making plans just shows itself over and over to me. So I know that music and art is a driving force of all. It's like my compass of everything that I choose. And it's really my passion and how I feel that we can truly awaken and transform many, many people through this medium and this delivery system of art and music and words and poetry. So to me, I feel like that is my purpose and what I'm driven by and what I'm also following. And I will leave it at that since I think my 30 seconds are up.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Selena, you got about 10 seconds.
Okay. Ditto to what my sister just said. I am actually also studying education right now. So working with young people has always been important to me, and I want to continue doing that and weaving ways to do that and build community.
That sounds wonderful. I'm sure you all will be stars in whatever you're doing. Your passion and wisdom are with you. Thank you all. It's been wonderful having you. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been a wonderful event. I wish you all the best, and blessed be in all you do as you continue to the work of the Mother. And thank you, dear listeners. So nice to be with you once again on Women's Voices.